out all the ladies and steal all the scene with their up to the up, up and their down to the up, up, down.
Now, I'm joined again today by Mike Davis, chairman of Rainy Town Museum. And Mike, you tell us why we played that song.
Scott, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Absolutely wonderfully evocative music. Every time I hear that, I can visualise the Rainy Rocket Speedway riders rushing out onto the track, all the noise, all the excitement of the crowd as they before the event starts. Absolutely wonderfully evocative. We've got some lovely DVDs showing that in the Rainy Town Museum, and it brings back lovely memories to everybody who can recall and went to the Speedway.
And not only did they play the Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines, but I think they used to fire off a cannon as well, didn't they?
Indeed, Scott. The name of the Speedway team, of course, was the Rayleigh Rockets. Everybody had to have their own distinctive name. And the significance is, it was, I understand, although I do hear various stories, it was in actual fact a firework, a rocket.
Oh, really?
That was sent out from the from the middle of the track right up into the atmosphere, if you see what I mean. Some people recall it at the start of the event, some at the end. Yes, it certainly was very evocative.
And it was back in July 1948 that the Speedway track opened for business. And wasn't there a Greyhound track there as well?
There was indeed. But very briefly for you, Scott, the first Speedway track in Great Britain, in actual fact, was at High Beach in Essex in 1928, behind the King's Oak Public House. The organisers expected a crowd of 3,000, and they estimate there were 30,000.
Wow.
But it was somebody called Frank Arnold, who was a World War II bomber pilot, who after the war decided to set up a Speedway track in Rayleigh in 1948, some 20 years later. The first season they had open races, friendlies, just to get everything set up, and they didn't join the league until 1949.
Right.
The first fixture, in actual fact, was against Leicester, and a crowd of over 12,000 attended the little stadium in Rayleigh with a lovely victory by the Rayleigh Rockets of 51 points to 32. There we go.
I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed that you can remember the numbers as well. Now, they had a separate team in the league, did they not?
Well, what they actually had, because before motorised speedway came along, cycle speedway was very, very popular.
Yeah.
And Rayleigh Rockets had a cycle speedway team who played at various venues. But in addition, for a short while, the speedway team had a reserve team.
Yeah.
The first team was called the Rayleigh Rockets, but the reserve team was called the Rayleigh Rovers, just to differentiate themselves from that. And they were also very popular.
Now, I spotted an item mentioning that on colder nights, the oil used to turn a bit thick, making it difficult to pour, resulting in long, agitated queues for the fuel, which didn't help the mechanics signing all the paperwork. And as a result of this, one young chap managed to get himself into the racetrack for free by helping the chap in charge of the refueling. Anyway, I guess that they say all good things come to an end. So what was it? Why did the Speedway have to end, and when did it end?
Well, the Speedway opened in 1948, and although it was very popular with crowds, they always struggled financially. And they closed and reopened several times during
really?
The 25 years. And it was always a struggle to find sufficient riders of the ability to maintain the standard. But then, of course, money comes into everything. And in 1973, it was finally decided to close the Speedway Stadium in Rayleigh because, economically, they probably felt it was they'd get more money from opening a retail park, especially with a supermarket called Sainsbury's. Other supermarkets are available. But the Speedway track was just off of Rayleigh Weir, just off the A127, for those who know that part of Essex. But even today, when you go off the Rayleigh Weir to go to Sainsbury's, the road that you go past is called Stadium Way, in memory of the Speedway Stadium. There was talk at one time in the early 1970s of relocating the Speedway track to Sadler's Farm Roundabout.
Oh,
near Canvey, but it never happened. And eventually it moved to Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire as the Rye House Rockets. But of course, later it was at Dartford for the Essex Hammers.
Because at one time I thought that they also looked at a site in Southend.
They did. They looked at various sites, but of course the other connection with the Speedway, of course, is that they had many, many other events on at the Rady Speedway to include greyhounds.
Yeah.
And they had greyhounds at Granger Road in Southend, where once the Southend United Football Club played for a while. And there was talk about having that as Speedway as well,
yeah.
but it never really materialised.
Good job they didn't actually run over any of the greyhounds.
Well, it indeed. What normally happened is the Speedway meeting took place at 7.30 to 10.30,
yeah.
and then the greyhound sometimes would take place at 10.30. And believe it or not, the last greyhound race would be about 11.45.
Good grief.
Just in time so you could get the last bus home.
And lucky if they weren't running buses that late. I don't think they do these days.
Indeed.
Anyway, what became of the teams who made up the Rally squad, so to speak?
Well, they all died. I mean, a number of the riders would ride for more than one team.
Right.
Wages were very, very low in those days, and unless you finished first, second or third, you sometimes didn't get paid at all.
Mm.
So if it was a Rally on a Tuesday or a Saturday, you'd go to Walthamstow or Ipswich or Leicester or anywhere in the country just to get a ride to try and promote your own self as a self-employed Speedway rider.
And
having
a
full-time job at the same time, by the way.
I'm amazed that you got paid at all these days, but...
Well, I mean, it was more for the love of it. They were really amateurs.
And did they have to pay for their own fuel? I guess they did.
Well, the sponsorship wasn't really as we know it today.
Yeah.
Technology in the pits that you mentioned earlier, isn't it, today?
Yeah.
And there'd be lots of willing volunteers from the crowd who would be willing to help out in some way or another, A, to get an autograph of the rider and perhaps be offered to help next week and get free entry. I was told a story only a few days ago. One of the fans who was quite keen to meet the Speedway riders would offer free cigarettes so the Speedway rider could come up and then they could get an autograph and then start a relationship and say, do you want any help? Can I help you put your bike in the back of your car or the van or whatever it may be?
And have a fag. But you've got a piece of the history of the museum in the museum itself, do you not?
We have a wonderful archive in the museum. We've got a lovely friend of the museum, one of the old Speedway riders, in actual fact, a lovely, lovely chap called Terry Stone, who has helped enormously. And we've had a number of articles and various bits and pieces. And I put an article in a local newspaper a number of years ago about the Speedway, and somebody phoned me up and said, oh, Mike, I know somebody you'd love to meet. They've got lots of archives of the Rady Rockets. And it turned out to be the old stadium manager, Peter Thorogood. So I went round to see Peter and I saw all his lovely artifacts. And to cut a long story short, I was able to negotiate two lovely stained glass panels that were originally at the track, which are pride of place in the museum, one showing the Rady Rockets emblem and one the Greyhound as a memento, and everybody who went to the Speedway remembers it. We've got DVDs, we've got artifacts, programmes, everything regarding the history of the Speedway, and many, many people who remember it. Even if you didn't go to the Speedway and you sat in your back garden on a Saturday evening, you could hear the roar of the engines from the track, and it was very, very evocative.
Now, a little bird has told me that you're planning a special Speedway-related event during the summer at the museum. So tell us more.
Absolutely. We held various anniversaries relating to the Speedway, but bearing in mind the Speedway started in 1948, it's now the 75th anniversary of that in the year 2023. And with a lot of help from Terry Stone that I've just mentioned, on the 23rd of June, Sunday the 23rd of June, we're having a massive exhibition and display, not only in the museum, but in the alleyway by the side of the museum, thanks to Russ from the Spread Eagle.
Mm.
We've got lots of old Speedway, original Speedway bikes, which are going to be started up, DVDs, flags, emblems, memento stories. Lots of old Speedway riders are going to come and have a lovely, memorable, nostalgic day in Rally.
Sounds great. Now, we're hoping to see you again in April, and you're going to be coming to talk about something completely different, which is the Titanic, is that right?
Okay, I'm coming to see you, Scott, on the 17th of April, which is the Monday as per usual. Of course, the Titanic sank on the 15th of April, 2012, and what I'd like to come and talk to you about is some lovely Titanic stories, some little known facts on the Titanic rather than a bit, but especially some of the Essex connections and Essex stories. Chadwell Heath, Wickford, Southend Pier, and even Rayleigh.
Wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to that. I would say it's a massive story of Titanic proportions.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All right. Thank you very much indeed for that, Mike. And we look forward to seeing you on the 17th of April then. Good stuff.
Thank you, Scott.